We turn again to the book of Ruth this morning. We read again verses 13 through 17 of chapter 2. Then Ruth said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Well, as we follow the travels of Ruth from the land of Moab, we find her in Bethlehem in these verses. Come into the field of Boaz, as the first verses of this chapter highlight for us. A mighty man of wealth, a man named Boaz, one who is perfectly suited to meet the needs of this Moabitess. As we read through these chapters, the title or the name that keeps following Ruth is this, the Moabitess, set apart as someone who is different than the children of Israel. She is not one of the children of Israel. She is wholly other, wholly different, and she feels that as she enters into the walls of Bethlehem. She feels different, and yet faith does not allow her to huddle in her home and dwell on this difference. She goes out into the fields of Boaz, and she goes to glean. She goes to find food for herself and for Naomi. Faith goes into the field. Verse 3 we read, it was her hap. By chance is what that phrase means. By chance she came into the fields of Boaz. From our human perspective, it would seem chance. The providence that Naomi misunderstood is the providence of God that brings Ruth into the field of Boaz and brings these two figures together. And we see here that the providence of God serves the unfolding of redemption. We see the glorious providence of God, what God often brings into our lives as bitter, He means for our good. And so we see providence unfolding here, and we see Naomi grappling with that providence, the bitterness of it in her own soul. And yet here we see God moving people together to unfold the progress of redemption, to bring hope and life to sinners, to continue that which He has begun in eternity between the Father and the Son in the covenant of redemption. And then we find Boaz coming into his fields. He blesses his servants. His servants bless him back. A man of piety, a man of godliness who cared for his own workers spiritually and physically. He asks the foreman in the field, "Whose damsel is this? Who does she belong to?" And the servant that was set over the reapers said, "It is the Moabitess damsel." This woman from Moab, this different woman who followed Naomi out of the country of Moab. And then he shares with Boaz how she requested to glean in his field, and he gives her permission. And then Boaz addresses her. The first words of Boaz to Ruth, and he addresses her. He says, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." He invites her to remain in his field because that is the field of plenty. The field where Boaz will care for Ruth and feed her and nourish her and eventually marry her. He provides a place of protection, a place of refreshment in the water, in the vessels, in the field. What does Boaz see? Does Boaz see a Moabitess damsel who is different? No, he sees a daughter. He sees one of his own. And through that, we see something of the greater Boaz Christ, who though we feel the difference of our own sin, How does he see us this morning in the gospel through Christ? He sees not strangers, but he sees sons and daughters. He sets us as daughters among his maidens in the field of his grace. In verse 10, we find Ruth humbled under that display of Boaz's mercy, of his tenderness for her. And she says, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" She feels her difference. She feels that she is wholly other, wholly unworthy of the grace of Boaz, the chesed of Boaz, the loving kindness. And here we see that glorious theme of the loving kindness of the Lord emerging in the narrative of redemption. It is this that undergirds everything that Boaz does for Ruth, that Christ does for his children. And Boaz answered her and said, "It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done." He knew everything about her already. Isn't that true of Christ? Like the Samaritan woman at the well, "Come, I will show you a man who told me all that I ever did." And so Christ knows everything about us this morning. And what does he do? He invites us to commune with him, to have fellowship with him. "The Lord recompense thy work," Boaz says, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." For those who trust under the wings of the Almighty, the storehouse of grace is opened. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord." That's what we come to reap this morning from the hand of Christ himself, from the greater Boaz. And then in verse 13, the verses that will frame our meditation this morning, Ruth responds to Boaz and she says, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me." As Boaz sets her as a daughter among maidens, she confesses Boaz's kindness to her. And the fact is, she is set as a daughter among maidens by the loving kindness of Boaz is evidenced by Ruth's confession. It speaks to her status as a daughter among the maidens of Boaz. It speaks to her newfound place, not just of security and provision, but her place in the covenant of God. One who stood outside, one who was a stranger to the covenants of promise, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, is now made nigh, looking ahead to the blood of Christ. It's a confession that speaks of Ruth's gratefulness for the kindness, for the grace that Boaz has shown to her. She says, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord." As we read these words in the Authorized Version, it reads as a request for continued grace. But in the original Hebrew, it reads as an expression of gratitude, a statement of fact. "I have found grace in thy sight, my Lord." Following her confession in verse 10, a statement of thanksgiving. Her why turns into the fact of grace. "I have found it. It's astounding, but I have found it. I am deeply grateful for that grace." She has received from the heart of Boaz, as he guarantees her provision and protection and place in the covenant community, as a daughter among the maidens in his field. Beloved, that is what we have found this morning. As we come to the supper, our why statements ought to turn into statements of thanksgiving. We have found grace in the sight of our Lord, of our Redeemer. And so we come confessing his gratitude for his grace, confessing that he sets us as a daughter among maidens, though our experience this past week would speak differently. The Lord reminds us that his loving kindness will not leave us as strangers. It will not leave us as mere servants. You recall the prodigal son. He says, "Make me one of thy servants." And what did the father do? He broke out all the things to make this one returning prodigal his son, to remind him of the status that he had in the household. That's what we have operating here as well in the grace of Boaz. It's a confession of the character of the grace of Boaz shown to Ruth. It's comforting grace. She continues, "For thou hast comforted me." Boaz's grace has had a tremendous effect on Ruth. The fact that she is comforted by Boaz's grace shows that she has endured the discomfort of being a stranger in Boaz's fields. As she entered into the walls of Bethlehem, she has seen and known the fact of being a stranger. She is unsure of the provision and protection as a foreigner. But as she comes into the fields of Boaz, and as Boaz speaks to her, in verse 8, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." He sets her as a daughter among maidens, no longer a stranger here. Boaz's words and actions settle her mind and her heart and her place amongst the people of God. No longer a stranger here. Because of Boaz's kindness, she has come home. She has come home as a daughter. Grace removes fear of rejection, doesn't it? Grace deals with the unease and the uncertainty and the instability of doubts. Do I really belong here this morning? Well, the greater Boaz comes and he says in the gospel, "Hearest thou not, my daughter, my son? Go not to glean in another field, but come to this field. There is provision enough here for you." Christ removes the fear of rejection, provides stability in the midst of spiritual uncertainty for a stranger coming in. This grace has a tremendous comforting effect. The voice of the greater Boaz. Are you a trembling, fearful stranger needing comfort this morning? Come. Come into the field of Christ and be fed and nourished in Him. She confesses that comforting grace. She confesses Boaz's compassionate grace. She says in verse 13, "For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." You have spoken with kindness, Boaz. How has Boaz spoken with this compassion, with this kindness? Well, let's look at his words to Ruth in verse 8. "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" Do you hear that this morning? "My daughter." He speaks to her as a member of his household. It's not, "What brings you here, stranger?" Immediately, Boaz addresses her as a daughter. He owns her as one of his own household. This is compassion, isn't it? This is kindness. He speaks to her with words of provision. "Go not to glean in another field, but abide here fast by my maidens. You will find a home here, my daughter. A home that is lasting, a forever home. A daughter among maidens in Boaz's field. Abide here fast by my maidens as a daughter." His words are words of protection. "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you?" Protection for a stranger. Compassion for a stranger. Boaz is a man of integrity. A man who loves the law of the Lord. A man who lives according to the law of the Lord. Who uses the grace of the law to protect the stranger in his midst and make her as a daughter in his home. His words are words of acceptance as to Ruth's place before the Lord and His people. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." All the comforts of the covenant, all the compassion of Christ is Ruth's. Boaz has spoken kindly to Ruth. His actions and his words convey only grace with this stranger. Beloved, these are the words of Christ for his own this morning. Staggering words, almost unbelievable words, and yet they are true. They are reality in the gospel. So let us take hold of these words of kindness. The kindness of Christ as he speaks to us this morning. He says, "My daughter, stay fast by my maidens." He charges the young men that they shall not touch the protection so that others and the ravages and the darts of the devil will not touch you. Provides refreshment, the vessels of water in the field. He speaks kindly to us this morning. And then her confession speaks to the inclusive grace that Boaz shows to her. Grace includes strangers. Now, this word inclusion has received a bad rap in today's culture. But if we are inclusive, we include everyone just as they are. But grace does not do that. Grace is inclusive. But grace, even as it accepts strangers as they are, will not leave strangers to remain as they are, but will make them into the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Ruth says. You have done all this and said all this. Thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Boaz includes Ruth, even though she wasn't like one of Boaz's handmaidens. Inclusive grace. I'm different, and yet you've done this. You've showed me grace in spite of my being different. She does not even dare to presume the same status as Boaz's female servants. She senses something different. She knows and feels the difference. But what does Boaz see as he speaks to Ruth, as he includes her in the field, in the home, in the family? He sees a daughter. He sees a daughter that he's going to redeem. That's grace. Inclusive grace in the best sense of the word. And sometimes, as believers, we just can't get over that fact. Like Ruth, we stand before Christ. We say, I'm altogether different than thee, O Lord Jesus. I'm altogether different than those around me. I feel the pain and the sorrow of sin. It separates. It makes me feel different. We sense our unworthiness of this grace. Like the prodigal son, like Ruth, all we feel is difference. And we are amazed that God would lavish his grace on such a one who is altogether different. But beloved, that is not what Christ sees this morning. As we examined ourselves this week, yes, we felt different. We felt our sin. We were wounded. We were broken. We were torn. In order to be healed, and as we come before Christ this morning, he says that we are his son and his daughter. He draws out this confession of grace from us. He deals kindly with us. He deals with compassion. He includes us. He will not leave us where we are, but he brings us to repentance and faith and confession and communion. He views strangers through the lens of his redeeming work, of his atoning blood, and he sets them as daughters among maidens at his table. We compare ourselves with others, as Ruth does here with the maidens. We feel different, and wholly other from Christ. We forget how the greater Boaz addresses us as sons and daughters, and so we need that reminder again as we come to the table that this is how Christ views us in the gospel. And so we're called not to deny his grace, but to confess his grace and come and renew our confession. Because as he deals with our different, makes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ all the more profound and glorious. Will you show your gratitude this morning by coming to the table with such a confession of comfort, of compassion, and including grace? Why would we do that? Because the greater Boaz is worthy. And so we see that Ruth is set as a daughter among maidens, and this is evidenced by her confession. Though she feels different, she's experienced the grace, the loving kindness of Boaz, and through that, the loving kindness of the Lord himself. But the fact that she's a daughter among maidens is also evidenced by Boaz's inclusion. He calls her daughter, but now he treats her as part of the family in the verses that follow. He invites her to come and eat with him and his household in verse 14. At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. What words of grace and love for strangers these are. Boaz goes above and beyond what the law stipulated. All that the law stipulated was for the corners of the field to be reserved for the strangers and the widows and the fatherless. But here he doesn't simply provide a corner in the field for Ruth to glean in, but he provides a place of welcome and of hospitality at his table. He demonstrates the love of the stranger that is so much a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An invitation to come in to one who formerly stood outside of the covenant. The loving kindness of Boaz draws her into his family and sets her at his table. The banner over Ruth here is love, chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord as she's brought into this family of Israel. An invitation to come and eat bread. And children, you recall what Bethlehem means. House of bread. House of bread. And now she's invited into the house of Boaz to eat that bread. From Moab and its emptiness, leaving all her family behind, now she's already in the orbit of Boaz's family, invited as a member of the household to eat bread and dip it in the wine vinegar condiment. All of this speaks of inclusion in the family of Boaz. But is this not also the invitation of the greater Boaz at communion? Isn't that what he says to his own this morning at mealtime? Come thou hither, come. Come close and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Come, my son and daughter, and avail yourselves of the bread that is in the greater Boaz's house, the bread of life, the one who said, I am the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst. He invites strangers to fellowship with him as sons and daughters. He sets us as daughters among maidens. That's the beauty of the inclusive grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the best sense of that word, of inclusion. He has heard how you have sheltered under the wings of the Almighty. He has heard of how you have confessed your faith in Christ, in the covenant-keeping faithful Lord. How you have said his loving kindness is better than life. He invites to partake of his fullness, for your emptiness to be addressed again at his table. Well, what does Ruth do with this invitation? We read, and she sat beside the reapers. Blessed words they are. She heeds the invitation. She does not question the invitation. She doesn't root around in her own heart, in her own soul, saying, can this really be for me? She responds by sitting down. She honors Boaz's invitation. Though she was altogether different, yet when she had one taste of that loving kindness, she knew that she could go in and sit down and be fed. You see, it's all Boaz here, isn't it? It's all Boaz as he lavishes Ruth with grace, and then Ruth responds with faith. Faith is the natural response to the invitation of the greater Boaz to such grace. Faith does not turn from such grace in spite of being and feeling different. Sometimes what we perceive to be our difference can become a hindrance in our sight. But this narrative proves that our sense of our sin is no obstacle to the greater Boaz. Rather, it qualifies for us to come to the greater Boaz. Because apart from the greater Boaz, our sin cannot be dealt with. And so our sin necessitates us to go to Christ, to be dealt with in his blood. This picture of grace strikes at the very heart of our difference, which is sin, overcomes that sin, overcomes the strangeness, to include us in the family and to set us down at the banqueting table. Ruth puts down the fact that she's different than Boaz's handmaids. She feels that she doesn't really fit in. But what is it that overcomes her sin? It's the loving kindness of Boaz. And through Boaz, the loving kindness of the Lord. Beloved, what's your different this morning? Is it fear? Fear of what people might say if you make this commitment to be seated at the Lord's table? You know there's no going back. Once you are seated as a daughter among maidens, leaving everything behind that you knew formerly, like Ruth, casting in your lot with the people of God. Maybe there's fear of what people will say or do, fear of commitment, fear of rejection, perhaps, because your difference, your sin, stands as such a great obstacle to communion this morning. Not sure whether you measure up to others who profess grace, looking around you. My friend, take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off of others around you. And behold the greater Boaz who says at mealtime, "Come hither and sit down and be fed." Our different, our sin, our doubts, our fears should not keep us away from the table, but should propel us there. Because the love of Christ compels us to come. Our difference, whatever that might be this morning, should bring us to greater dependence on the provision of the greater Boaz. And notice what Boaz does with this Moabitish woman. This woman who stands apart, who we would say in the colloquial expression, she sticks out like a sore thumb. He doesn't pass over Ruth because she's a stranger. The invitation is real, it is genuine, and it is followed up by a demonstration of personal care and commitment. There's a detail in this verse that we could easily pass over. Verse 14. She sat beside the reapers. And then we read these beautiful, beautiful gospel words. And he reached her parched corn. He reached her parched corn. Boaz takes the roasted grain. He scoops his hand up and he feeds Ruth himself. The host serves the one who is different. He treats her as a daughter. Presumably the servants would have fed themselves. But for this daughter, he takes the initiative. He sets her at ease by inviting her and then caring for her. Isn't it true? When you step into a strange situation or place, because of the unfamiliar and the sense of feeling different, of out of place, not being accustomed to the practices and traditions of other people, it can be overwhelming. Then someone comes and says, "Come, I'll show you the way. Let me lead you." There's a sense of relief and even joy as that person comes to lead you into the place where there's strangeness. In a sense, I had that coming here. Coming from Michigan to South Carolina, different customs, different people. And yet, as you have led me, come to know the fellowship of the people of God, the grace of God that constitutes us sons and daughters in the gospel, a sense of instant belonging here. That happens here in Boaz's small but very significant action as the host of the meal. But if Boaz pictures Christ, then we have here a beautiful window into the heart and the hand of Christ himself. He himself feeds his people. He leads them and he guides them and assures them that they are no longer strangers but sons and daughters. A sense of belonging he gives to us. No longer servants, no longer maidens, but daughters. This is how Christ deals with different. This is how Christ deals with strangers who come in into the orbit of the gospel. He reaches down and he feeds his people this morning in anticipation of that reality that we read of in Revelation 7:17 this morning. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Beloved, let this care of the greater Boaz this morning draw you to Himself. To draw you to Himself again and overcome that sin, that different that you've gotten hung up on in this past week. He bids you to look from your sin to see Him. It is such grace and care that deals with our different and sets us as sons and daughters among maidens. Grace welcomes sinners and feeds them as children of the family. And what does Ruth do now in response to this gracious care of Boaz? As he himself reaches her the food with his own hand, we read in the last part of verse 14, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She heeded his invitation. She sat down at the table. She did eat and was sufficed and left. Ruth didn't just look at the food in her hand. She didn't just look at the food and say, "How can this be?" No, she ate and she was sufficed. The net result of her eating was that she was satisfied, fully satiated by Boaz feeding her as a daughter. She leaves, not just as a satisfied stranger, but as a daughter filled with the food of Boaz. This verse concludes with the fact that she left. But again, that word in the Hebrew indicates to us that she didn't just leave the place. She had left over. She had left over food still. So she leaves Boaz with bounty. Not just satiated, but overflowing with abundance of food for herself. You recall how she has come empty into the walls of Bethlehem. And now she's being filled by Boaz. And she leaves his table overflowing. Beloved, how will you respond to such grace from Christ? Will you heed his invitation? Or will you highlight your sin? Will you highlight what is different about you and stay away? Of course, if you're living in unrepentant sin, it requires that you deal with that sin. That perhaps it's better for your own soul to stay away. But if your sin has been repented of and plunged beneath that fountain open for all uncleanness, your sin is no longer an obstacle to communion with the greater Boaz. But there is bread and enough to spare in his house. For Ruth here, it was grace that was taking the upper hand in her identity. She moves from stranger to daughter. What will be the upper hand this morning in your identity? Will you come as a stranger? Or will you come designated a daughter, a son, by Christ Himself? Perhaps you are a complete stranger yet this morning, still in the land of Moab, empty, different, is all you know. The narrative of grace speaks to you this way. It highlights your emptiness in contrast to what Ruth is receiving here now from the hand of Boaz. That contrast will be clear this morning as the people of God come to the table to eat, reminding you that you are yet empty, that your great need this morning is Christ. You need that bread that is Christ to satisfy your soul. That there is no hope, there is no life, there is no joy apart from Christ. But as long as you are a stranger, you are not a son or a daughter, you're still spending your life on that which will not satisfy. In a far country, riotous living, spending your substance on the corn husks of the world. But the same grace that has led Ruth to this point is available for those lost in the wilderness and famine of the world. The invitation comes to you this morning to come to Christ. to find favor in his sight, to find grace in his sight, to come to him. Because it is this grace that turns those who are different into daughters and sets them as daughters among maidens. But then thirdly, we see that Ruth is set as a daughter among maidens, and this fact is evidenced by Boaz's provision. As Ruth leaves the home of Boaz, she heads out into the field, and Boaz speaks to his servants. He gives his reapers instructions in order to provide for Ruth. In verse 15, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean. Let her glean." In verse 16, another command, "Let fall also." This command guides the reapers, gives Ruth the freedom to reap in the field of Boaz. And then there's the command to let fall some grain for Ruth. Freedom and ample provision. There's a command to the reapers and a caution. The reapers are to treat her with respect and not rebuke Ruth. Reproach her not. Rebuke her not. Just let her be in my field, men. Give her the latitude that others don't have. Do not speak harshly to her, but let her be. Ruth is to be encouraged in her gleaning for barley. It serves to protect Ruth in the field as she gleans. There's the command of Boaz. There's the caution of Boaz. There's the charity of Boaz. Let her glean among the sheaves. Speaks to the place that Ruth now has amongst the gleaners. The law required just the corners, you recall. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. Leviticus 23, verse 22. The corners of the field stipulated in the Levitical law. But Boaz goes beyond the law. The corners are turned into a place right amongst the reapers. Let her glean among the sheaves. There'd be more grain there. She could now glean in the middle of all the activity where there was more grain to be had. It spoke not only to location, but also to status in the eyes of Boaz. No longer a stranger, relegated to the corners of the field. But now a daughter, treated as one of the family, given a prime place to glean in the fields of Boaz. And then there's the instruction to drop handfuls of grain on purpose. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them. What is Boaz saying here? He's saying, men, make it easy. Make it easy for Ruth to glean. Drop these handfuls for her so that she can have enough barley so that she can feed her mother-in-law and herself. Ruth gleans within the boundaries of Boaz's field. But Boaz's kindness knows no boundaries. She gleans under his gracious command. She gleans under his watchful protection. She gleans as a result of his boundless generosity of his heart. And in this, Boaz gives us a clear picture of Christ this morning. You see, we come to the table to glean. We come to the table to glean this morning as daughters and sons of the Most High God. The elder brother ensures for us that we have a place to glean. Not just in the corners, but in the very place where there is food to glean. We might be tempted to think that the boundaries of his field limit his generosity. The opposite is true. It is when we glean in the field of Christ that we come to know the limitlessness of his grace. We stagger home under the glorious weight of that grace that treats different as daughter. This is the provision that Christ makes available for his own this morning. The heart of Christ is generous and gracious and kind. He commands provision for his own. He makes it easy for them, calling them near to the place where there is a rich harvest of his grace. As he spreads the table for us this morning, he drops handfuls of purpose. Some of us limit his supply of grace by not coming readily, by being reluctant because of misconceptions or because we still feel utterly unworthy to harvest of that grace of Christ Jesus. Here Christ comes to convince you this morning that if you have tasted of his grace, he sets you as a daughter among maidens. He gives you a place to glean, handfuls of purpose of his own hand, fullness and plenty for hungry souls, where he treats you as one of his own, where he sets you as a daughter among maidens. And evidence is that this morning by his overwhelming, abundant provision in the gospel, where he feeds you himself, where he feeds you with himself. And then finally, we see that Ruth is set as a daughter among maidens, and this fact is evidenced by Ruth's fullness. In verse 17, we read, "So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned." Again, Ruth presents a picture of industry, a picture of faith in action. She's a daughter among the maidens as she gleans among the sheaves. She gleans the handfuls of intentional purpose of grain that have been left in the wake of the reapers. She threshed the grain. She struck the harvested plants to separate the plant from the grain. Your industrious work yields a rich harvest as she's in the fields of Boaz. And you see, Boaz's fatherly love and provision does not leave Ruth complacent, but thankfully industrious. She takes hold of the offer to glean, and she gleans. She remains there, and she reaps a rich harvest. What an object lesson for us this morning. True faith is always active. True faith is never complacent at the provision of Christ at his table. We must not become complacent and lax and cold in the use of the means of grace, but seek to use them to the fullest extent possible, to improve them, as our forefathers would say. Why? Because our spiritual yield is proportionate to our use of the means of grace as they are mixed with faith. Ruth was humbled under the grace of Boaz. Under his loving kindness, Ruth felt herself to be different. Yet when the invitation came to come in and to eat and to remain and reap, she did so. And she left with abundant provision. How will you respond this morning to the invitation of the greater Boaz to come in and eat, to remain and reap? Beloved, what Christ does for us this morning is he invites us to come and to test the limits of his generosity. And he says, "Let your faith be industrious. I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me." In the means of grace, he calls you to do that very thing this morning. In the word, in the sacrament, you will find that there are no limits for those who trust in Christ. Verse 17 ends with these words, an accounting of what Ruth is bringing home from the fields of Boaz. And it was about an ephah of barley. Children, do you know how much an ephah is? An ephah is approximately 30 to 50 pounds of barley. 30 to 50 pounds of barley. As I was typing out the notes, the initial notes of my sermon, my fingers inadvertently spelled barley as barely, switching those two letters. But it serves to prove the point that when Ruth leaves the field of Boaz, she's not leaving with barely enough, but she's leaving with more than enough barley. What she takes home here is enough to feed her and Naomi for weeks after only one day of gleaning. Boaz's provision leads to Ruth and Naomi's fullness, Who would have thought that that ray of hope in Ruth 1:22, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest, would end this way? She went home with an ephah of barley, 30 to 50 pounds of barley, for weeks upon weeks of food and fullness. Ruth returns home staggering under the glorious weight of the provision of Boaz. That's how Christ would have you leave the table this morning, my friend. He wishes nothing less for us than to be filled with His fullness, to stagger home under the glorious weight of His provision in Christ Jesus and of His grace. As the invitation comes, don't doubt His heart. Don't doubt His ability and His willingness to deliver a provision for His soul. Test His invitation. Come in and eat. Remain and reap. He is willing. He is kind. He is full of tender-hearted compassion in filling strangers and elevating them to the status of sons and daughters, adopting them as His own. How will you approach Him this morning? As sons and daughters dependent on His grace, testing the limits of His generosity. Or as those who doubt His provision, continue on eking out a meager existence in the world, leaning on your own righteousness. Oh, my friends, heed the invitation of this greater Boaz. Come in and eat. Remain and reap and gather provision for the road that lies ahead of you. What Christ will provide this morning will be enough for weeks, for months, so we can go from strength to strength until we appear before Him in Zion. May God bless His word and fill us with Himself. Amen.